spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, the eighth in our fifth anniversary series, is an American ballad, adapted for radio by Irv Tunick from the book entitled The Man Who Stayed in Texas by Ann Nathan and Harry I. Cohen.
In all the state of Texas, from Fort Worth to San Antone, there's not a man who hasn't heard of Rabbi Henry Cohen. The sick, the poor, the needy, no matter what their creed, his heart is always open to a fellow man in need. And his story bears repeating time and time again, for it teaches us the meaning of the brotherhood of men. Now, in case you haven't heard it, though I reckon it's well known, I'd like to tell you all about this Rabbi Henry Cohen. If you ever get to Texas, to Galveston someday, you're driving in your auto and a car gets in your way.
Cut out that racket.
But, officer, that car in front, it stopped right in the middle of the road. It's blocking the whole street.
And do you think you're Joshua? I'm going to blow it out of the way with your horn? Just you be quiet. I'll handle this.
Everybody drives a car. 10 to 1, it's a woman.
Now, just what do you think you're doing? Stopping that way in the middle of the... Well, now, if it isn't Rabbi Cohen. Good day, sir, and how are you feeling?
Very well, Officer O'Malley. How's the family?
The family, Rabbi Cohen, is thriving. And yours?
We're all well.
That's good. That's good. Miss Molly?
Fine.
It's wonderful.
Did you hear what Molly said to that reporter from the news the other day?
Tell me now.
Well, this reporter, he maybe thought he could make Molly blush. So he asked her if she was older than I am.
And what did Miss Molly say?
She said, I'm 86. Sure, I'm older than the rabbi. Why shouldn't I be? I'm his boss. That's Molly.
Say now, what have you got on your cuff today?
Oh, busy, busy. First in the hospitals, then I have to look in at the jail.
Tell me now, for how many years have you been using your cuff to write your appointments on?
Always. As long as I've been in Galveston. 60 years.
No, it is as long as that, is it?
60 years. I've used up a lot of cuffs. One of the only arguments I ever had with Molly was on account of my cuffs. Mm-hmm. Once I came home in the middle of the day for a shower. I took off my shirt, put it on a chair. Then while I was in the shower, who should come by but the laundryman? Molly gave him my shirt with all my appointments written on the cuff. It washed out the rest of my day. Oh, my. I think I'm holding up traffic.
Oh, it's nothing, Rabbi. But maybe you better be careful of stopping in the middle of the street the way you do to speak to people. We got some new boys on the force, and you know, one of them might just be mean enough to write you out a ticket.
Of course, of course.
Goodbye. Shalom.
You can say that again. Shalom. All right, now I'll take a look at your license.
My license? Well, you're not going to give me a ticket.
And that I am?
But for what?
For what do you think? For disturbing the peace.
Rabbi Cohn was born in England, across the wide, wide sea. From there he went to Africa, Cape Town and Kimberley. And there he fought the Zulus, was back some 60 hours. But even till this very day, he still shows off his scars. He went back home to England, but not long did he stay. For the star of fate he followed led to the USA. In Woodville, Mississippi, his great career begun. And soon he was invited to dear old Galveston. So Texas found a fighter in Rabbi Henry Cohn. And from Waco to El Paso, his name was soon well known.
You are Major Lowe?
Why, yes.
I'm Rabbi Henry Cohn.
Why, I'm glad to meet you, sir.
Here in your paper, the news. Look here.
Well, what about it? You mean this story about the fire?
This story about the fire.
Well?
It says here a fellow named Simpson had a fire in his stable. The whole stable burned down.
Yes.
Well?
Well, what?
What is Simpson's religion? What church does he attend?
Religion? Church? How do I know?
Ah, you don't know.
I don't care. His religion isn't news.
It's not important.
Not as a news item, no.
Not necessary to mention it.
Of course not.
Now, Major Lowell, let me read you another news item from the news. You printed it last week. Listen. Yesterday, just after noon, the warehouse of Herman Miller, Hebrew merchant, was totally destroyed by an accidental blaze. You mentioned Herman Miller's religion, Major. What I want to know is this. What is Simpson's religion?
Yeah. I think I understand what you mean, Dr. Cohn. I apologize. I'm sorry. You have my word that it'll never happen again.
It soon became a custom among the poor and sick to bring to him their troubles, and he would fix them quick. Now if a woman had a husband that drank up all his pay, though it seemed no one could help her, the rabbi'd find a way. He never asked your church whether Christian, Jew, or Moor. You could always count on the rabbi if you were sick or poor. Now, once a man named Lemchuk was held aboard a ship. He'd come from Tsarist Russia to escape the lash and whip. But when he came upon our shores, a passport he did lack. And now he was in irons, they were gonna send him back.
I can't eat, not a bite.
Now, Henry.
If they send him back, he'll be murdered. It'll kill him.
But it's the law.
What kind of law is it that lets a man be murdered?
But you've done everything you could.
No, not everything.
Where are you going now?
The only place left to go. Washington. Pack my bag, Molly. I'm going over to the Levy's to borrow $100.
We're sorry, Dr. Cohn, but there's nothing we can do here in the Immigration Service. Not a thing.
We can't interfere, Rabbi. This isn't a State Department matter. I'd like to help you out, Dr. Cone, but I'm only a congressman. I can't do a thing.
Yes, you can do one thing.
What?
Give me a letter of introduction to President Taft.
The president?
He's my only chance. My last chance. Please, write me the letter.
And this man...
Lemchuk, Mr. President. Ivan Lemchuk.
Yes, Lemchuk. He entered the country illegally. Is that right?
He has no passport.
There's nothing I can do. Really, Dr. Korn, the law is law. I know how it is. Believe me, I do. These cases are always heartbreaking.
I see. It was kind of you to see me.
I'm glad you came. I must say that I'm deeply moved by your appeal, and the fact that you, Rabbi, have made this long journey to plead for a man who is not a member of your congregation, nor of your religious faith.
All faiths have this in common, Mr. President. An abiding belief in the will of man to help another who is in need. Without that faith, what are we? Lemchuks. All of us. Lemchuks. Do you understand Hebrew, Mr. President?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Well, in Hebrew, the word for charity is tzedakah. And it also means righteousness. I have come all this way not for charity, but for righteousness. Lemchuk is a human being. His plight doesn't call for charity. It calls for righteousness. For justice.
Yes, Mr. President?
Take a telegram. It goes to Chief Inspector of Immigration of Galveston. Say, hold Lemchuk in Galveston and release in custody of Rabbi Cohen on his return from Washington. And sign my name.
Is that all, sir?
That's all. I feel better that I did it. You know, Rabbi Cohen, it's good to do good things.
In Galveston, the rabbi was a landmark of sorts. He was known in all the hospitals, the jailhouse, and the courts. When Jack Johnson, the famous fighter, was in the town caboose, on the word of Rabbi Cohen, the sheriff turned him loose. Always kind and always gentle, his language never rough. All the little cares of Texas he carried on his cuff. Now here's another story told time and time again. It happened many years ago, way back in 1910.
Rabbi Cohen! Rabbi Cohen! Oh, Meg! I'll be right with you.
Hello, Meg.
I got your call down at the paper. What's up?
Are the news still sending you all over Texas looking for human interest stories for the paper?
Yeah.
I got one for you right here in Galveston. Stick around.
What goes?
Megs, have you ever heard of Jacob Schiff?
Sure, Kuhn Loeb and Company.
Well, Mr. Schiff has given us enough money to start something here in Galveston known as the Jewish Immigrants Information Bureau.
Meaning what?
Well, you know what's happening in Russia. You've read of how the soldiers of the Tsar are hounding my people.
Yeah?
Well, many of these poor people have escaped. They're coming to America. Most of them, of course, land in New York, where they have so little chance to work in their own trades. They get lost. Swallowed up by the ghetto.
I've seen it.
And that's a terrible thing. It's bad for the immigrants and it's bad for the country. These people have trades. They're shoemakers, bakers, butchers, carpenters, farmers. And America can use their work. So that is it. Instead of New York, they're coming to Galveston. Here we'll look after them and arrange to send them to communities that need their services. It's better all around.
And these
are our first immigrants. Mostly, they're from around Kishinev. They're... Wait.
There's the mayor.
The mayor?
Yes, I asked Mr. Landers to come down and greet them officially. Good morning, Mr. Landers.
Hello. Hello, Rabbi Tone.
Come in. Here are the people. I would like to have you say something to them.
Why, sure.
You go ahead. I'll translate what you say.
All right.
Wait a minute. Also, Shah. Seid ihr so gut, seid alle still. Ich will euch alle bekennen mit Mr. Landers. All right, Mr. Landers.
Well, now, first off, I congratulate you folks on coming to a fine country like the United States.
I gratuliert euch, dass ihr hat solche gewesen zu kommen kann Amerika.
I hope you appreciate the privilege of becoming American citizens.
I hope it wird sein gut für Amerikaner.
I want to say that I'm proud. Proud to be here with my good friend Rabbi Henry Cohn to greet you personally.
Er sagt, er ist sehr zufrieden zu sein da und persönlich auch mit Kabel von ihm sein.
And I extend to you all the welcome of the city of Galveston.
Und in Namen von der Stadt Galveston gebe ich auch alle meine Opfer warmen Baruch Haba.
Rebbe, seid ihr gut. Ich will etwas sagen.
Gewiss. Was wird er sagen?
Seid ihr gut, Rebbe, sagt der Mayor, als in dem Land, von welchem wir kommen, wohl das nicht gekannt vorkommen.
Mr. Mayor, this man says that they know that this scene could not happen in the old country.
In dem Städtel, von welchem wir kommen, wohl der Mayor uns mit Kabelpottem gewinnen mit der Beitsch.
In the old country, the only greeting they would get from the mayor was with a whip.
Und anstatt der Beitsch hat uns gegeben a warmen Shalom Aleichem.
Instead of the whip, you have clasped the hands.
Wir werden das keinmal nicht vergessen.
This, they will never forget.
The hours swept by swiftly, the days not long enough to do the things, the many things he'd written on his cuff. The months and years that followed were rich for Rabbi Cohn. He spent his time for others, their needs he made his own. When a student needed money to finish out his course, the rabbi'd always get it from a certain secret source. When youngsters got in trouble, their parents always came to the little house on Broadway that bore the rabbi's name.
Now, come, if you want me to help you, you must tell me the story.
They beat him. With a leather whip, they beat him. Just because a boy is in prison, do they have the right to whip him?
You know this is the truth.
He wrote me. And yesterday, a boy was in with him. He came to the house. He told me, too.
All right.
Why did they do it?
I don't know. Someday they won't. That's what we're working for now. A reform of the whole prison system. But it takes time. Everything takes time. When I first came to Texas, a long time ago, believe me, when I first came, the age of consent for a girl was only 10. Think of it, just 10. We worked and got them to change that. We'll get prison reform, too.
But what can you do?
Leave it to me. I'll do something for your boy.
Oh, look look at that record. Just look at it. 17 years old and a criminal record a yard long. Petty thievery, stealing cars, stick-ups.
I know it, but the boy has learned his lesson. Let him have a parole. I'll be responsible.
Parole this kid? Not in a million years. Not to you or anybody.
Is that so?
Just what do you think you're doing, Rabbi Cohen?
I just locked the door.
Well, unlock it.
I won't unlock that door until you agree to parole this boy.
Hello,
Your Honor. You're a fine one to refuse to give this youngster another chance. You, of all people. Maybe you don't remember, but I do. How many times I helped you when you were in trouble. Yet you reformed. You came back and won for yourself a high position in the community. Now I ask you, can you, of all people, refuse this boy a chance to become, as you did, a decent, self-respecting citizen? Perhaps even like you, a leader of the community. You can't refuse, can you?
No, you're right. I can't refuse.
Once this land was poisoned by a lawless, vicious band. As the rabbi fought injustice, he fought the Ku Klux Klan. Once he was invited to a luncheon when he saw a Klansman sitting silent at a table near the door. He rose and faced the stranger. The stranger's face grew red. Then he turned to all the people, and this is what he said.
Before I start, Mr. Chairman, may I say this? When I go into a ward in a hospital, I never think to ask what religion each patient professes, or whether he has any religion at all. It's enough for me that he is sick. To me, there is no such thing as Episcopalian scarlet fever, Catholic arthritis, or Jewish mumps. As disease can claim no denomination, neither can evil. No one group is all black or all white. In truth, we are all gray. This is neither the time nor the place to attempt to answer bigotry, if ever bigotry can be answered by fact. I'm not afraid of the bigot, the persecutor, because they cannot persist. Every tradition of social progress is against them. History is against them. Men of goodwill are against them. And Almighty God is against them. And now, Mr. Chairman, I will proceed to the subject that has been assigned me. Marriage customs among the ancient Greeks.
After 50 years of service in 1938, the people came to honor him from all the Lone Star State, from Houston and from Dallas, Fort Worth and San Antone. They all came down to shake the hand of Rabbi Henry Cohn. Thousands crowded in the hall, the governor was there. Senators and congressmen, they crowded everywhere. And then the hall grew quiet, and this little man arose. He looked a little out of place in his strictly formal clothes. His lips moved in a prayer, a tear rolled down his cheek. And then he smiled a tender smile, and then began to speak.
It hardly seems like 50 years since first I came to Galveston. I must say this.
If what I have done has been good, then it must be because here I have found good clay. And if any honor must be given me, then it must also be given my dearest companion, my wife, Marlin. My dear friends, the supreme command of the Bible is, love thy fellow man as thyself. Or, as the great Hillel said, what is displeasing unto thee, thou shalt not do unto another. I believe that. I have tried to shape my life according to that belief.
State of Texas, from Fort Worth to San Antone, there's not a man who hasn't heard of Rabbi Henry Cohn. The sick, the poor, the needy, no matter what their creed, his heart is always open to a fellow man in need. And his story bears repeating time and time again, for it teaches us the meaning of the Brotherhood of Men.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Eternal Light drama today, An American Ballad, has been adapted for radio by Irv Tunick from the book entitled The Man Who Stayed in Texas by Ann Nathan and Harry I. Cohen. Featured as the ballad singer was Tom Glazer, and Peter Capel was Rabbi Cohen. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company